Have your Bibles, if you would, the book of Titus, chapter 3. The book of Titus, chapter 3. Now this message, y'all remember I preached a man called Such. And I preached to you, that was my life story. I was Mr. Such. Well, tonight I'm going to preach the rest of my life story. I titled the message, The School of Hard Knocks. There it is. Now notice the way it's spelled. Now, I want us to look tonight at the School of Hard Knocks. This message is about hard knocks. There are many scriptures that start with the word not. And there is a school of thought that there are some difficult knots. A lot of people don't understand what those knots are. That's why I put it the school of hard knots. And the Bible is sometimes for people hard to understand. But Jesus said that he would make it simple enough that a child could understand it. Is that not what he said? And it just takes a little more of applying ourselves to the Word of God to understand the Word of God. And, you know, there's times that I read Scripture and I'll go, what did I just read? You know, whew, it went right over my head. And I've read it 100 times. And then I go back and say, Lord, there's something there you want me to get. Would you show me what you want me to get? And I wanted to say that tonight because there's a lot of people don't read the Bible because they're scared they won't understand the Bible. And that's why I want to take it tonight to School of Hard Knocks. Look with me again, if you will, at Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. All right? The Bible says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. Isn't that true? Everybody ought to say amen right there. Amen. Disobedient. Amen. Deceived. How many has ever been deceived in your life? Boy, didn't the devil have us all deceived for a long time. It says, serving divers lust and pleasure living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Aren't you thankful tonight? God took the hatred, the deceitfulness, the lust, the envy, and replaced all of that with love. Boy, isn't that good? Verse 5. Here it is. Look at the very first word. Not. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is, watch, a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. My. The first hard knot I found was in verse 5. Now, the Bible says it's not of works of righteousness, right? It's nothing that we can do. We can go out and knock on doors till our fingers are bloody. We can go out and shout on the rooftops and shake people. Man, when I first got saved and started in the ministry, I would preach my heart out and nobody would move. And yeah, I wanted to go back there and just shake them and say, you need to get saved. But I realized through God's love, that's not the way it ought to be. We need to preach God's love and let the love of God do the work. That's why Paul said it's not of works of righteousness, watch, which we have done. It's nothing that we do. It's us being obedient and letting God work through us. And we need to grab a hold of this because it's hard to understand this not. It's not of works. It's not of something that we've done, but what God is doing through us. That's what we got to understand. Not baptism, not membership, church membership. Listen to me. Not being good and not having good morals. That will not get you to heaven. It takes the blood of Jesus Christ to get you to heaven. Jesus said, I am thee. That's singular, right? It's not by the blood of a bull in Hebrews chapter 12. It's not by the blood of a bull nor a goat, but it's by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's not works that gets us to heaven. It's not good morals that gets us to heaven, although it's good to have morals, amen? Morals is a thing that's gone in America. It's gone. Where it used to be, it was gays and lesbians. Now it's an alternative lifestyle. Am I right or wrong? Where it used to be, abortion was not acceptable. It was murder. Now it's a choice. Is that not what everybody's saying? It's a choice. And it's not of works of righteousness which we have done. It's not what we do, but what God does in and through us. And we need to understand this school of hard knots, my friend. We need to grab a hold of these things. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to who? His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration. That word regeneration means that we are rejuvenated, regenerated, and something that we was once dead and he made us alive again. But it ain't our works that makes us alive again. It's our choice to go to heaven, and it's also a choice that if you die and go to hell, God didn't send you there, you chose to go there. We need to understand what this knot is all about. It says regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You say, what does that mean, preacher? Listen to me closely. The Bible teaches us we are born in sin. Is that not right? When you're conceived into this world, you're born in sin. Now catch this. Until you reach the age of accountability, which I don't believe nobody knows that, the age of accountability, I'm going to explain this to you. The age of accountability is not a number, but it is a time and day when you realize and know what's right and what's wrong. That is the age of accountability. It's not a number. People think, oh, it's 6. No. It's 7. No. It's 12. No. It's when you get to the point in your life that you realize what you're doing is wrong, and that's when you reach the age of accountability. Some, it could be 5. I know I talked to many people, said they were saved at a young age. Well, you know what? There's preachers standing in a pulpit right now saying that you cannot be saved at that early age. I disagree. I say that when God is dealing with you and you reach that age where you know what's right and what's wrong, then God can save your soul. It's renewing. Renewing while you was an innocent baby and you grew up and then reach the age of accountability, and you get saved. That's the renewing of the Holy Ghost. If you die before you reach the age of accountability to where you don't know what's right and what's wrong, you will go to heaven. Amen. I want you to understand that. I preached infant funerals, stillborn. I preached one-year-old, two-year-old, five-year-old children's funerals. You know what? That's something hard to grasp, losing a child. I don't know. I hadn't been there. But can I say something to you? That baby will meet you on the other side. I can guarantee that. This little child that was killed, murdered, or drowned, or whatever last couple weeks ago. I don't know if he reached the age of accountability, which I know he didn't. He's in heaven today. He's in heaven. That's what I want us to understand. No matter what we do, what we say, it's not of works. Number two, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. The second, hard not. The very first word says not, that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but our sufficiency is in God. Now, that word sufficient, I've done a little research on that word. You know, that word has four definitions to that one word. Number one, the Bible says not that we are significant of ourselves, sufficient of ourselves. What does that mean? Number one, we're not enough for ourselves. The first definition of sufficient is enough. We're not enough in ourselves. But thank God, by the gift that He gave us, His Son makes us sufficient. Amen. Did you read the verse? Not ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is what? Of God. So the first or the second not I want us to understand is our sufficient, what we think, is not enough. Not enough. But through sufficient, enough is the very first one. Listen to the second one. Adequate. We're not adequate within ourselves to go to heaven. We're not sufficient enough in ourselves to go to heaven. You know why? Because we're incomplete. Without Christ, you're incomplete. Through Christ, you're complete. But our sufficiency is of God. I want us to understand, Paul is saying, I am not enough in myself. But his confidence was in God. His enough was in God. His adequacy was in God. Number three. The third definition of sufficient is plenty. Plenty. God is plenty. Are you hearing me? We are not plenty. But in God and through God, we're plenty. The last one is ample. That means adequate, enough, plenty, sufficient means ample supply of God. How many know tonight that we're nothing without Christ? And we get the big head all the time thinking we're all of that. It burns me up when I see some snooty person thinking they got all that, walking around with their nose up in the sky, thinking that they've got the world by the pigtail and they're in control of the reins. Can I say something to you? Those folks need Jesus. Because when God saves us, He humbles us to where we're servants, listen, and not masters. It bothers me for somebody to think they're better than me. You know what I tell them? You dirt just like I am. You came from the red clay I did. You might have a little bit more down here. Your bank account, well, it don't take much to have much more than mine, but amen. But you might have a large bank account. You might have a large home. You might have a large yacht. You might have all of this. But I've got Jesus, and He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He's the master of the sea. I've got all of that. So go ahead and ride your little parade down here. Go ahead and keep your nose up in the clouds. One day my nose won't be in the cloud. I'll be walking on the clouds. Amen. It bothers me when people think they're all that. They're all sufficient. And you can't be all sufficient unless, the Bible says, is of God. Is that not right? Number three. So the first hard knot, let me go back. First hard knot is not of works. Number two is not sufficient. Number three, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. Now watch this. Look at the very first word. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as what? Servants. What did I just get through saying? We're servants, not masters, right? But as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God, watch, from the heart. If you help somebody, don't expect nothing in return and you'll be blessed. If you take somebody's supper, you know, say they can't get out, and you take somebody's supper, don't expect them to buy you supper tomorrow. Do it, the Bible says, not with eye service. Not to be seen is the better way to put that. Don't do it to be seen and look big. Because when you do it to look big and to be seen of man, you're going to stumble and fall flat on your face. That's what that next phrase there is, as men pleasers. Well, I'm going to do it so they'll be, no, I got it. Huh? That's the way people live, is it not? Why don't you come get on my boat? Mine's bigger. Why don't you come get to my house? My house is bigger. That's what people do this day and hour in which we're living. They want to be bigger than you are. But can I say something to you? If you've got God on your side, listen, you a whole lot bigger than what they'll ever be. I might not have a whole lot down here, but bless God, I'm going to be walking on the gold just hanging around your neck one of these days. Yeah, you might have a big old pearl ring, but I'm going to walk through a pearl gate. Amen. Yeah, your jasper earrings might be beautiful, but I have a house that's built on jasper one of these days. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because one of the jewels that one of the 12 foundations in heaven is built on is jasper, is pearl. Can you just imagine? Yeah, go ahead and think you all that now. We'll see. When you stand before Jesus and He looks at you and He says, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, where the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But then little old peon like me, ain't never had much down here. He's going to say, enter in, my child, a job well done, thou good and faithful servant. My, my. It's going to be worth it all, isn't it? So the third knot is not with eye service. It's from the heart. I thought about this. This come to my mind as I was sitting at my table studying the other night. You remember when they arrested Jesus and they put him in a holding cell. And the next to him was a man named Judas Iscariot. Barabbas. He was there beside of Jesus. The guards come down, unlock the thing where Jesus was, open the door, unlocked Barabbas' cell, and walked them both out. All right, now get this picture in your mind. Here comes Jesus, all beaten, bloodied, bruised, and just swollen, something terrible, guilty of nothing. Here comes Barabbas out, a thief. He had stole some things. I thought about this. Pilate stood up among all the people that had voted him in as priest. He says, will you take Jesus or Barabbas? Very easily, he could have said, Jesus, you are not guilty of nothing. Go free. Barabbas, you got caught red-handed. You're going to hang for what you've done. He could have easily done that. But what did he do? He asked the crowd, did he not? He said, do you want Jesus or Barabbas? They said, Jesus, and crucify him. So what happened? Pilate walks over here to a basin of water. He washed his hands. You know why he washed his hands? Because he knew he had just betrayed innocent blood on account of eye service and men pleasers. He didn't do it within himself. The Bible says that he later said this, I found no fault in him. So who was he serving? God or man? Not with eye service as men pleasers. I'd never read nowhere in this blessed book that Pilate got saved. Nowhere. Did y'all? Anybody ever read that? I didn't. I've done a lot of studying on Pilate. And I never saw where he got saved. Guess what? He died and went to hell. You know why? Because he'd done it as eye service and men pleasers, not from doing the will of God from his heart. If he had followed his heart, Jesus would have never got crucified. Think about that. Now, not as eye service. It's hard not to try to please men instead of God. But can I say something to you tonight? You better. You better. Number four. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Y'all already know that verse. Very simply says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What does that mean, preacher? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now, what does that mean? When we miss church, we miss several things. Number one, we miss fellowship. We miss fellowship with the Lord. I hear people all the time, well, I can worship God in my house like I can at church. That's not biblical. The Bible says, what's the very first word? Not. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That means come together and worship God as a group, as a unit, as one. Not only do we miss fellowship, but we miss our brothers and sisters. Next Wednesday night, y'all pray for us. You know Jordan's having his surgery. Brother Jimmy's going to fill in for me. And I'll watch it, you know. I'll watch it like I always do. I'll come back and talk to him about his sermon. But what bothers me is, yes, I can watch it, but I don't get to fellowship with all y'all. I don't get to pick, to cut up, and go on. I don't get to do that. And that breaks my heart. But it's something that can't be helped. It has to be done. But you miss your brothers and sisters when you're not here. You miss fellowship with God. And lastly, you're going to miss seeing what the Spirit can do. You're going to miss seeing what the Spirit can do. You know, there's been times that I have had myself the greatest time preaching, and everybody out there look at me like I was crazy. Man, I leave the church feeling good. Boy, that Spirit. You know, it might not have been for nobody but me. Brother Jimmy, you preach messages for just yourself, I'm sure. And I've done the same thing. It might not have been for a soul, but it was for me. And I was obedient to God in preaching it and listening to myself. But you never know what the Spirit's going to do. But when you miss church, you don't know what you're missing. And I want us to understand that. So, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Number five and last one. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 17. Very first word says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire... How many know a tree that don't bear no fruit? Jesus was walking down. He got to a fig tree and looked up and it was barren. What did he say? It's good for nothing to be hewn down and trodden under the foot of men. What if we ain't bearing fruit? What good are we? Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You're going to be judged not on sin when you get to heaven, but you're going to be judged on your works, whether it's good or bad, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. What kind of fruit are you bearing? Not a gift, but fruit. All the time, man, we do something for somebody or help somebody, we're looking for a handout. But then on the other hand, there's people that don't do nothing still looking for a handout. You say, how do you know, preacher? I've got some in my family like that. They expect us to keep them up and them not work. It's all you can do to keep yourself up nowadays, amen? Healthier than I am, get out and get a job. Amen. Amen. That's the way I see it. But bearing precious seed is what God wants. He's wanting us to bear precious seed. What is that seed? There's 66 books right here that we can bear at any time. You put it here, God will put it here, and the Holy Spirit will bring it out here. Read it. Study it. Live it. You can go as far as be like John the Baptist. Eat it. He come out of the woods eating the Word of God, and he said it tastes like honey to his belly, did he not? Digest it. Locust and honey. No, thank you. I'll take the Word of God. slap some butter on it and let it go, amen. The school of hard knots. These knots are something that a lot of people don't understand needs to be done. I want us to understand tonight that the school of hard knots ain't that bad if you just get in the Word of God and read it. All hearts clear. Let's stand to our feet.